My sermon today kind of goes along with last week. Last week, I asked, what are you going to do with the gift? And this week, my title to my sermon is, God Wants More. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would touch my lips as I prepared to share your word here this morning, Lord, that you laid these words on my heart. And Lord, now I have the opportunity to share them with your people that are gathered here this morning. Lord, I pray that it would be convicting and also an encouragement to us, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you would be with each and every one of us. Open up our hearts and souls to receive your word this morning, that we could go home a different way, Lord. We pray that we would be changed from the inside out. We thank you for all your many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Going to be looking at Jeremiah quite a bit today. We're going to be looking at some different verses. The first verses I'm going to read is Jeremiah chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. Say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them according to all which I command you. So shall ye be my people, and I will be your God. Jeremiah was told to warn the people that if they don't obey God's covenant, that exact covenant that was given to Moses and the people that they made with God back in Exodus 19, 3 and 8. It says, if you don't obey my words, you will be cursed. Judgment will come in some form for not obeying God's word. The whole book of Jeremiah is littered with God telling Jeremiah to tell his people that judgment is going to come upon the kingdom of Judah. And here in chapter 11, that's what God wants Jeremiah to do, is to warn his people that if they don't change from their ways, this great curse that he promised back in the covenant, back in the beginning with Moses, that if you follow my word and follow my covenant and keep that, I will continue to bless you in the land that I have provided for you. But if you're not willing to keep that covenant, I'm not going to continue to bless you. And here Jeremiah is called to share this. And if we go back just a little bit to chapter 7, of Jeremiah, verses 2 through 4. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Jeremiah chapters 7 through 10 are all known as Jeremiah's temple sermon. God tells Jeremiah to go to the gate of the temple to preach. So he starts this sermon out in the front doors of the temple as people are gathering to come into the temple to worship. He starts telling them they need to amend your ways. Change what you are doing. You need to stop trusting in these lying words. These lying words were coming from the priest of those days, because the priest only wanted to give words of comfort and tell them, oh, everything will be all right because we have the covenant of the Lord. We have the temple here. We're going to be all right. While God was trying to tell the priests to give them warning that they needed to change of their ways. They relied on the temple of the Lord. Oh, let's trust in this building. We have the temple here that has been built, and it's in our presence. And if we continue there in Jeremiah, picking up on verse 5 through 7, "For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers, forever and ever." God wanted change in his people. They came to the temple, but they lived just like everybody else that was outside of the temple. It was common for them to sacrifice their children to foreign idols. They came into the promised land and they were supposed to chase out all the foreigners that lived there. They were not supposed to allow any of them to stay. But they ended up starting to make deals with them and left them there and did not completely destroy them. And it caused them problems thereafter. And this is one of the great problems they had. They would worship the Lord God, but they also wanted to follow these foreign idols. And it was a common practice to sacrifice their children to these idols. And I know here in America, we would never think of doing such a thing. Except if you look at abortion as sacrificing children to the god of pleasure. What do we hear as excuses for the abortion? It's my choice. It's my body. I'll do what I want to with it. You know, we don't want to look at the truth that God says, "I knew you while you were in your mother's womb," and that it was a child. It's not a choice. They already made that choice long before choosing an abortion. We might not put a specific God or a title to that, but if we looked at it as the God of pleasure, so many people fall into that pleasure. They're going to do what makes them happy. America, I believe, is fully pursuing all kinds of other gods. And many of them are the God of pleasure. Things are no different in America than it was in Judah. And if we don't change, we should expect the same consequences that Judah faced. Jeremiah 7, 8 through 12, "Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. You will steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now unto my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people, Israel." God is saying, you come into my temple, but your life has nothing of God in it. You come here and you get your check mark. Oh, I was to the temple today. Oh, I brought my sacrifice for the Lord. But your life shows nothing of God in it. So many feel, I'll give God Sunday, but the rest of the week is mine. Or I'll give an hour or two, but God wants all of you every day. They were happy to listen to lies if it made them feel good. The priests were busy building them up instead of sharing God's judgment that was coming upon them. Sometimes God's word should make you feel uncomfortable because we are not perfect. And if we don't look at God's word to bring correction upon us, we're in the same shape as they were. They were stealing, murdering, committing adultery. They were giving witness to false idols. We chase after other gods, we just don't call them gods. It could be a career that we chase after, or a house, a car, a bank account, a retirement fund that we can safely coast through the rest of our years. When is enough things ever enough? You hear so often, after I get to this point, I'll put God first. Or once I just get caught up, or I get just a little bit farther ahead, I'll give to the Lord. I'll give to those missionaries that come to the church at that time. But, you know, God, I just really need it all right now. If I just had a little bit more. And a lot of times, just a little bit more never seems to come, or it's still just not quite enough. And we're still looking for just a little bit more. Judah was trusting in the temple to God to protect them. But they had nothing to do with the covenant that was created between God and them. Israel had looked at the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord as having special powers as well. So after losing a battle, the elders of Israel decided, let's bring the Ark of the Covenant to the battle tomorrow. Let's bring the Ark and let's take it out to battle, because surely God will make us win because we have the Ark of the Covenant. But the problem was, that wasn't God's plan. And they did this on their own. And God was calling them out here in Jeremiah, saying, I am going to do the same to you as I did to Shiloh, which is the very first place that the Ark of the Covenant rested. And you can read about the battles that took place in 1 Samuel chapter 4 to see what actually took place there. But God is telling Judah, you look at the temple like Shiloh looked at the Ark, and they lost a great battle, and so will you if you don't turn back to me. It wasn't the Ark that had the power. It was God that had the power. It was his presence with them because of the covenant that he had made as they left Egypt. God was warning them, it's not the building that protects you. It is God himself that protects you. But my people have turned from me, and I will bring judgment upon them. He was laying out the groundwork for everything that was going to take place. Jeremiah 7, 19 and 20. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man and upon beast, and upon the trees of the field, and upon the fruit of the ground. And it shall burn and shall not be quenched. You have made me angry with the things that you do. I want more than you just coming to church. I want your heart to change. I want you to follow my commandments. I want you to keep my covenant. God was saying, it's not just a place. You are my chosen people, but my chosen people, I gave you a covenant and a deal that I made with you. And if you're going to break that deal, I'm not going to bless you anymore. And because you haven't done these things that I asked, my judgment will come on you. Jeremiah 7:23 says, "But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you." Obey my voice, and I will be your God. Come back to me. He's giving them chance once again to come back to him. Be my people, and I will be your God. And all will be good once again. We can enter into that covenant, giving them a chance to change once again, if they're just willing to. Jeremiah 8:8, "How do you say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain." They were talking about knowing God's word. They knew the law of the Old Testament. But just knowing God's word is not enough. There's many people that know scripture in their heads and minds. But when are you going to let it go from your head down to your soul and change you from the inside out? God was saying, I don't want you to just memorize my scriptures. I want you to live those scriptures. Our sinful nature is to do these things. It's our sinful nature to do these things wrong. The same things that Judah was doing. But it's God's word that convicts us and changes us to be more and more like Christ. We have God's word right before us. But how much time do we truly spend reading and studying God's word and applying it to our life? I'm sure we can all spend more time in God's word. Jeremiah 9:24. "But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." The Lord is a God of loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. He brings them all. He cannot be one of them and then the other. He is all of these at all times. He always loves us. He will bring judgment on all. And God will love and judge us in righteousness. He doesn't choose to just be one of them. He doesn't show us love by letting us get away with things. And sometimes we sit back and think, God, why don't you judge that person for all that wrong that they're doing? Because of his righteousness and his ways are much higher than ours. But when we take time to look back, we can see his love and judgment and his righteousness, how they all work together. Judah didn't listen to Jeremiah's warnings from God. And there was consequences for that. Many of them ended up dying from famine as they went into the defended cities, and they were surrounded and could no longer go for food. And many of them died from famine. Many others died from the sword when they finally went to battle. Others died from pestilence, and the others were taken into captive. All of these things happened because of them not listening to God's warnings. God sent these prophets to warn his people, wanting them to turn back to him. but they actually got angry with Jeremiah instead of receiving his word. In closing, God wants obedience, not just a building. God wants law livers, not just law holders. God wants all of you. And America will go down the same road if it doesn't listen to God's warnings. Let us close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. Your word is so precious and it is a light unto our feet. Lord, we are in uncertain times. I know there is many that are worried about tomorrow, but Lord, I know that you hold tomorrow. And Lord, these words of the Old Testament are just as true today. I know if we turn back to you and we put you first, you will bless us and be with us. You will be our God. Lord, I pray as individuals that we would put you first. It's not a matter of just coming to a building and worshiping you and getting a check mark behind our name, Lord. Lord, it is making you first in our lives each and every day. Lord, I pray that you would be with each of us here today as we leave this place. Lord, I just pray that your presence would stay with us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.